Well, praise God. What an incredible way to kind of start out with worship songs that really get us to kind of calm our hearts and reflect on God and who he is and what he's done for us. And earlier when I was kind of throwing off a little bit before we did our announcements, you know, I'm so grateful that we have the Holy Spirit in us, that even when our minds are a little bit scattered, we can go to God, we can pray, and the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us can help us kind of sort through our thoughts and our emotions to help us get focused on what we have to do. And I am so grateful for that. And today we are continuing our series on the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about what the Holy Spirit does. And I started, as I was actually completed the sermon this week and already sent out PowerPoints and those kind of things, something just popped into my head and just this illustration I had. And it's this question of, you know, have you ever made a purchase where there was a benefit or something that maybe came along with your purchase and you didn't know about it, and so you missed out on it? Recently, my parents had to replace their delivery van, and so they got kind of a new to them van. And I got this email and it said, oh, your free 3 months subscription to Sirius XM is starting. And it's funny because I don't think any of us realized that there was this benefit that they would have a 3 month trial of getting to have satellite radio in their car. And this really started resonating with me, as there is a story in the book of Acts that really kind of lays out this same story about these disciples, these followers. They had actually been followers of John the Baptist, and they didn't know about the Holy Spirit. And so let me read this kind of interaction, this story that takes place. And it's Acts 19. If you guys want to take a look at this, it's not going to be put up on a slide or anything, because it's just something that hit me the other day. And so it's Acts 19, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to be reading from the NASB. And it says, now it happened that Apollos was in Corinth. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, on the contrary, we have not even heard if there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. So what this verse is saying is that there was aspects of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, these manifestations, these disciples missed it. They didn't experience these manifestations because they didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. And, you know, different theologians, different Bible scholars will kind of debate why this was. Maybe they didn't know that Pentecost had happened. Maybe they didn't know that Jesus was resurrected. They had no idea. And so what they did know was about the Messiah. And so they had that baptism of repentance, but not the baptism in Christ and his resurrection. And so, you know, people wonder, were they really saved or not? But that's not so much the point that I want to focus on today. What I want to focus on is, because they didn't have instruction, because they didn't have teaching about the Holy Spirit and who he is, they weren't able to experience these incredible manifestations. In this case of speaking in tongues and prophesying, they didn't experience them. And that is why we are going to spend maybe the next month or so talking about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is so important to us as Christians. We absolutely need him. And if you truly accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he's already dwelling inside of you, but you need to learn about him so you will experience some of the incredible manifestations that come through the Holy Spirit. And when you take a look at how the Holy Spirit, or the ways that he is referred to in the Bible, it kind of gives this overall broader sense of what he does in our lives. So let me name off some of the names or the way that he is referenced to in the Bible. He is referenced to as the advocate, the counselor, the helper, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of truth, the spirit of God, and the spirit of the Lord. These are all the incredible ways that people talk about the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And again, it kind of gives you an inkling, an idea of the things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And as I get into a more detailed discussion now, I'm going to split up what the Holy Spirit does in our lives in two parts. This week, we're going to be talking about what the Holy Spirit does early in our Christian walk. And then next week, I'm going to talk about what the Holy Spirit does as we mature as Christians. And so let's take a look at that. What exactly does the Holy Spirit do at the beginning of our faith journey? Well, number one, he informs, and ultimately he informs us about Jesus. He informs us about God. Now, here's the thing, different denominations, different theological belief systems, or different, they use different terms, things like effectual call, special revelation, prevenient grace, to explain how or what leads people to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But all of these terms, all of this, these theological terms, ultimately what they're saying is that God's grace is necessary before anybody accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And unfortunately, due to humanity's sin nature, if God did not draw us or call us, then no one would answer the call to salvation. So that's what a lot of these theological terms are saying, is that there has to be some way or something that's calling people to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Peninsula Hope Church, we've talked about this before, that we are a Free Methodist church. And what this means is that our theological beliefs, and basically theology is the study of God or the things of God. So how our denomination, how our church understands God and how we interpret the Bible is based on the biblical studies and the interpretation of John Wesley and Jacobus Arminius. That's why we refer to it as Wesleyan Arminian theology. And one of the tenets, one of the key points of our theological belief system is that God has given us the incredible gift of free will. So what this means is that we believe that if people want to, if they choose to, they can deny Christ. They can turn their back on him. They can deny that he exists. And this, despite the fact that Scripture tells us that God has revealed his existence to all humanity. Romans 1, verses 18 through 20, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of people who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly perceived, being understood by what has been made, so that they are without excuse." So what this passage is saying is that even if someone has never gone to church, even if they have never read the Bible, God has revealed himself to humanity through creation. This passage also explains that since we are God's creation, every human being has some inner sense of what God desires, this inner sense of what is right and wrong, because God created us. But God is so gracious. He loves us so much. He didn't just leave things there. He didn't just leave creation as being the only way that we would know about God's existence. God continues to draw people to him, to call them and to draw them through the power of the Holy Spirit, even though God knows many people are going to continue to reject him. So how exactly does the Holy Spirit draw us to God? And this is the way, or one of the ways, that the Holy Spirit acts in our lives at the very beginning of our faith? Well, number one, the Holy Spirit convicts us. The Holy Spirit challenges us. He makes things real. He lets us know the right and wrong, as I mentioned earlier. John 16, verses 8 through 11, in the NASB, it says, "And he," meaning the Holy Spirit, "when he comes, will convict the world regarding sin and righteousness and judgment. Regarding sin, because they do not believe in me, and regarding righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you no longer are going to see me. And regarding judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged." And the ruler of this world, that'll be Satan, or that is Satan. So let's talk about these three areas that the Holy Spirit's going to convict us in, or that he does convict us in. Sin. And we have to understand that when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, it's not just acts that God deems as wrong. It's also what it means when we do not choose God. The Holy Spirit helps to reveal to us that it is a sin if you do not believe in God. There is a consequence to that. So that's the sin aspect that the Holy Spirit convicts us in. Next, the Holy Spirit convicts us in righteousness. And I've talked before that righteousness is being in right standing with God. And so the way that the Holy Spirit convicts us regarding righteousness is that the Holy Spirit shows us or reveals to us what God deems as right or wrong. And the reality that his judgments, they are right and true. So the Holy Spirit helps us to know or to have that sense of what is right and wrong according to God, not according to humanity, not according to pop culture, according to what God deems is right and wrong. And the Holy Spirit helps us to understand that that is the truth. It doesn't matter what we think. It only matters what God thinks. So the Holy Spirit convicts us in righteousness. And the final area is the Holy Spirit convicts us in regard to judgment. That guilty verdict for anyone who does not choose Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And it's also in judgment of Satan. That's what that scripture talks about, that Satan has already been judged. So those are three areas that the Holy Spirit convicts us in: sin, righteousness, and judgment. But there's another way that the Holy Spirit continues to draw us to God. And that is that the Holy Spirit burdens us. He burdens our hearts towards spiritual truths and our desire for them. We see this in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 12 through 14. It says, "Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. We also speak these things, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual truths with spiritual words. But a natural person," this is someone that does not believe in Jesus, so this is a non-Christian, "but a natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." John 16, verse 13 in the NASB, it says, "But when he," again meaning the Holy Spirit, "the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." And that's information. It's what God wants us to know. That's what he will disclose to us. I started thinking about this, and I call it the aha moment, those spiritual truths. And the one for me that I thought of was tithing. When I was a little kid going to Sunday school, you know, my first years in the church, you know, I never really understood the concept of tithing. My Sunday school teachers just said, this is something that we're supposed to do as Christians. And so I remember on Sundays, my parents would give me and my sister maybe a quarter or something. Then we'd put that in the little basket at Sunday school. But it wasn't until I became an adult and had bills to pay that I really started understanding that tithing is about faith, trust, and honoring God. And that spiritual truth that God revealed to me was ultimately God doesn't need our money. Everything belongs to God anyway. God is wanting to see, can you trust me? Can you have your faith in me? And can you honor me with what I've blessed you with? That is the spiritual truth that I did not know as a young child. And the reality is many older people, many people in their 20s, 30s, and older than that, 40s and 50s and 60s, they still don't understand that truth. And that's because the Holy Spirit helps us to understand these spiritual truths. So now let's talk a little bit further down the road. Once we have grown, once we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, what does the Holy Spirit do in our lives now? Well, earlier he informs us ultimately of God, but as we grow in our faith, the Holy Spirit, he transforms us. So informs, and now he transforms. After we're saved, and this is a process called conversion, if we truly believe in our heads and our hearts that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we are forever changed. We are not the same. And we begin this process of regeneration where our sin nature, the way we were before, our flesh, our worldly desires, the Holy Spirit begins to change them to a moral and spiritual nature grounded in God. And so the Holy Spirit, he regenerates us. And regeneration, it's a work, again, another theological term. It's a work of the Holy Spirit that gives believers new spiritual vitality and new direction in our lives. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 16 through 18, and I'm shifting to the NLT now. It says, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. So when the Holy Spirit transforms our sin nature, we begin to want to be more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit, he also renews our minds in the way that we think. Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24, also in the NLT, it says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So the Holy Spirit, part of the transformation is he renews our minds. And honestly, daily, we need to renew our minds because sin is always creeping in. But the Holy Spirit transforms us that way, that he helps us with our thoughts, the way that we process things. The Holy Spirit also continues to reveal and remind us of spiritual truths. This is another blessing. He's already revealed certain truths about God to us, about Jesus to us, but he continues to do that. John 14, verses 16 and 17, I'm shifting back to the NASB. It says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so that he may be with you forever. The helper, who is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he remains with you and will be in you. So how incredible. We talked about our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit. How incredible that we have the person, the third person of God in us to help us to reveal spiritual truths and to remind us of things that God wants us to know, things that maybe we forgot. How incredible that that's another thing the Holy Spirit does is he transforms us. John 14, verse 26, it continues this thought. It says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of all that I have said to you. It's like having school in your head. You know, so many students are transitioning from a year of having, you know, school online. But because of the Holy Spirit, we have theological classes inside of us. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand. He helps to reveal spiritual truths to us. Another way that the Holy Spirit transforms us is that the Bible becomes living and active. It is no longer just a bunch of words. Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, even penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Have you ever thought about that? That scripture, the Bible, it could judge our thoughts and intentions. That's because scripture, the Bible, is living and active. Theologians, seminary students, we talk about the two words that are used for word, and it's logos and rhema. And logos, that's the written word. It's the Bible that we are reading on a daily basis. But the rhema word, that word means it's what's spoken. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us through God's word, and it just means something a little bit different today than it did yesterday, it's living, it's applicable to my life. It's transforming. I thought about this with James 1:19, and I preached on this a while back, and it talks about being quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger or slow to action. And the more and more we talk about our world and all the challenges that people have with racism and sexism, all these different isms out there, this verse, the word of God, is so real. It is being revealed to me in a different way. It's saying, you know what? If you have a problem with someone, if you would be quick to listen, if that is the first thing that you did, was just zip your lip and listen. And if the second thing that you did was, again, keep that lip zipped, you know, don't say anything, be slow to speak. And then finally, if you're slow to anger, if you take your time, imagine what the world would look like. That's because the word has become living and active, that it's no longer a bunch of words that I read. It's a way that I need to be in order to make a difference in the world. That's because the Holy Spirit helps the Bible to be living and active for all of us. The Holy Spirit continues to convict us of our sin and the sin in our lives and our need to repent. And thank God for that. There may have been a time early in your faith walk or before you were a believer that you could do something that was a sinful action and you didn't think twice about it. But as you grow in intimacy with the Holy Spirit would convict you. And you may say some rude word to someone. You may end up lying, deceiving someone. And maybe years ago, you wouldn't have thought twice about it. You wouldn't have cared. But now the Holy Spirit, as you mature in your faith, the Holy Spirit stops you in your tracks. And maybe you do that sinful act and now you want to repent. You feel terrible about it and you want to make amends. Or as the Holy Spirit grows, as we discern more of what he's doing in our lives, we get to that point that we don't get much further than just a sinful thought. We take that thought captive and that's it. We never act on it. That's what's so incredible about the Holy Spirit and how he continues to convict us in our lives about sin. And the final thing that I'm going to end on is that the way that the Holy Spirit transforms us is that he enables us or it causes us to desire more of God in our lives and the things of God. Our desires have changed. Our passions have changed. Ezekiel 36, verses 25 through 27. It says this: "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and bring it about that you walk in my statutes and are careful and follow my ordinances. Isn't that incredible? That one of the most powerful ways that the Holy Spirit transforms us as we mature in our faith walk is the Holy Spirit helps us with our walk, that we desire more of God, that we don't want sin in our lives, and that we want to be obedient. If you've ever wondered, wow, the Bible is so tough to follow, I don't get it, it's all these do's and don'ts. Well, maybe you need to pay attention to the Holy Spirit a little bit more. Maybe you need to give him space in your life to take over your life. And then maybe those things that you thought were so challenging before, they're not as hard as they used to be. Lord Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, thank you for dwelling inside of us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us each and every day to desire more and more of you. I pray that we would grow in intimacy and understanding of you, Holy Spirit. I pray that if there's anyone here, like those disciples of John, who do not understand that you are in them, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would manifest in such an incredible way today, that something would be different, that they would feel a change, that they would look at Scripture in such a different way, that it would mean something different to them, that they would understand how Scripture applies to their lives, that it's not just a history book full of words and people that lived long ago, that it's about Jesus and his love for us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would transform us, that you continue to inform us about God and our need for him. Lord Jesus, we submit our lives to you. Holy Spirit, have your way. We pray this in your name. Amen.